B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
And get CISSP certified. Visit us online at trainingcamp.com/CISSP. Visit us today at trainingcamp.com. That's trainingcamp.com/CISSP. And use code FANATIC.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers slip-on footwear.
Now that I've hung up the cleats, I like to wear a more comfortable shoe. In fact, I like to wear the most comfortable shoe, Skechers slip-ons. Skechers slip-ons are simply the best. For one thing, there's no laces, so they just slip right on. Then there's the Skechers air-cooled memory foam. It cradles your feet and provides unbelievable comfort that lasts all day long. Skechers slip-ons are the most comfortable, easy-to-wear shoes I've ever worn.
Try Skechers slip-ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers, comfort included.
Attention real estate developers, Bob Marino's at Spring Garden Lending, specializing in bridge loans to acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance investment properties. Spring Garden Lending, faster than a bank, cheaper than alternative lenders.
This is Jason Martinez for the all-new Conkerville Subaru. Folks, you've seen this new beautiful showroom. It's large, comfortable, and packed with all the Subaru models you want. They built this gorgeous showroom just for you. You'll think you're in a coffee bar when you see their beverage area, or your own living room when you quietly sit in the visitor center next to the fireplace. You'll also get a free car wash after every service appointment. Drive home the Subaru you've always wanted at the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now. All 2019 Outbacks, Foresters, and Prezas and Legacies are 0% financing for the month of August. You all know Subarus are built to last. Buying one with 0% financing makes so much sense. While you're there, check out the all-new Subaru Ascent, the first full-size Subaru SUV. It is fantastic. Visit 202subaru.com. That's 202subaru.com for inventory and details. 0% finance deal ends August 31st, 2019. Conkerville cares. Call 888-351-6493 for financing details.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast, you're listening to the sports voice of the new Philadelphia. 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to the Fanatic family. It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
I feel really awkward right now.
Oh my.
I'll hit an old man in public.
Guys are walking around naked.
Oh, good for you.
All right, it is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony filling in for Mikey Miss this afternoon, 2 o'clock. Jason Martinez with you. Andrew off today. Pat Egan producing. So, bit of a shuffled staff today, but we're going to have some fun. And I have a couple of issues that I need help with. I just feel like I need some help today. I need the word that comes to my eyes. I was kind of chilling out last night, and I was trying to gain clarity on a couple of things. And I need the audience's help today to allow me to help me gain some clarity. Let's start. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Let's start with the Phillies. We'll go there. Because the Phillies had their they matched their season long win streak last week with four games, the sweep of the Cubs, and they beat the Padres in game one. Then they lose the next two. They go down. Bats can't bail them out. The pitching, once again, Eflin can't get through four innings, and the Phillies go down and they lose two or three to the Padres. So it was one step forward, maybe even one and a half step forward, and then three steps back once again. They lose to an inferior opponent. Yesterday, they lose 3-2. Reese Hoskins has been horrible lately. But the issue for me isn't necessarily that they lost the 3-2. That's kind of a microcosm of the season. And I've been a guy that's defended Gabe Kapler pretty strong, because I've said, well, you can't put all the blame or a lot of the blame on a manager when the general manager has given him such a flawed lineup. Now, or roster, I should say, mostly including that pitching staff. Because if you go out there and you know you have to score a ton of runs to win games, then that's a pressure that you can't handle long term. It's like in basketball, knowing you've got to score 125 every night. You can't live like that. You have to be able to defend at some point as well. In football, it's like saying our defense is really bad. We're going to give up 30, but we can score 35 every night. Well, you can't. You got an offense that's dynamic, and you might be able to do that often, but you cannot make a season and be success and be dangerous by doing that. Quote, dangerous. So the Phillies yesterday, they didn't even need a lot of runs. They lose 3-2, but only four hits in the game. But my problem today, and as a guy that has defended Gabe, and I don't want to overstate this. Gabe's got a flawed set of ingredients to win. We all know that. This pitching staff, outside of Nola, and maybe Vargas a little bit, is horrible. It is horrible. I was the devil last week because I wasn't changing my expectations because they scored 11 runs against the Cubs when Charlie Manuel was named the hitting coach. But this pitching staff is horrible. They'll be in this wild card conversation until mid-September, maybe even until the end of the season. But to really change your expectations of what this team can be with this pitching staff is foolhardy. And as a guy who has defended Gabe, he let me down yesterday in an epic way. Not because of a move that he made in a game. Not because he hasn't either benched Rhys Hoskins or moved him down in the lineup. No. Because I finally hit a tipping point with the stupid stuff he says after games. They lost that game yesterday. A one-run game. 3-up, 3-down in the 9th inning. And, Pat, do you have the cut of what he said after the game? Here's what the manager said after the game.
I think more importantly, at the end of those at-bats, we weren't able to consistently get the barrel on the ball. We did have some loud outs across the board. Caesar had one to right center field. JT had another deep fly ball. And like I said, Reese's ball nearly left the park and tied the baseball game for us. It's a round ball. It's a round bat. They have some really tough relievers in Munoz and Yates. And their starting pitcher did a good job for him today.
All right. First, there's going to be more, by the way. Loud outs. We're now lauding loud outs.
Love loud outs.
Loud outs.
Chicks dig loud outs.
So that's now a positive. A loud out. So we've got this. First of all, we have to get a translation dictionary for all the crap he comes up with. But loud outs. All right. Well, he's got more to say, though. Here we go.
Obviously, frustrating to lose today's baseball game. Really proud of the grind and the at-bats. Saw 110 pitches off their starter. Saw 27 pitches with 3 outs in the 9th inning. Rhys had really good at-bats.
Really?
First at-bat of the game was great and set the tone exactly the way we want our leadoff hitter to set the tone.
That's not true! You got to be kidding me, right? Really proud of the guys. We saw, I think he said 110 pitches, 27 in the 9th inning with 3 batters. You went 3 up and 3 down. Now, until there's a scoreboard in the outfield, Pat, until there's a scoreboard out there that makes the amount of pitches you take more important than the amount of runs you score, shut it. This is ridiculous. I'm not a guy that gets really caught up in what a manager or a coach or somebody says after a game because I know a lot of it's chalk. But this is absolutely insane.
I mean, Rhys Hoskins is hitting like .125 in August.
Yeah, it's horrific.
But he had
nobody gets better. Nobody gets better.
No one's gotten better. Everybody's arguably gotten worse.
Pitching gets worse. The only guys that get better are the guys that it doesn't matter what you try and coach them. Like Bryce Harper, he's already great. Aaron Nola is a guy that's not going to. He's such a good pitcher. He's good despite the advice that he gets from the pitching coach and the manager. But for him to say, I want to curse. For him to say, we saw 27 pitches in that with 3 batters in that 9th inning when they went 3 up and 3 down, strikeouts, is like hocking a loogie right into your eye.
It's like, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Seriously. Are you kidding me? And I know, like I said, I know coaches and managers after games, they don't want to throw players under the bus, and Gabe is a positive guy. I get all that. But this is ridiculous. He needs to be called into the office of John Middleton today and say, dude, are you kidding me? You said that after the game? You lost to the freaking Padres. The Padres blow.
They just played them less than 24 hours ago, and I don't think many people can name more than 4 Padres.
Yeah.
That's how forgettable of a team they are.
Yeah, I mean, other than Machado, what do they got? I mean, give me a Not break. Much. Give me a break. I'm really proud of the guys. We saw 27 pitches in the last inning. You went 3 up and 3 down in a one-run game, dude.
When is he going to take some responsibility for this? Because I've never seen somebody take responsibility.
Yeah, there's only one person. See, Andy was funny because Andy Reid. Because he would come in and say, he wouldn't throw his players under the bus, but he'd take the whole pile of blame right onto himself. This guy just points out positives like the amount of pitches that we took. Like anybody gives 1/10 of one crap about that.
It's like propaganda.
It is. It's like wartime propaganda. He's dropping leaflets from a plane.
Yeah, he's Tokyo Rose.
This is absurd. Like, I heard that, and I immediately got, like, PO'd.
Yeah, well, you're already mad because they lost a winnable series again, right? You figure that you can build that momentum from the Cubs series, and, oh, here come the Padres. They're very beatable. We should be able to take 2 or 3 from them.
We should be able to keep the momentum, right?
And then you want to just see your manager be as mad as you are as a fan, and nope, it's more positivity. And as you said, we saw 27. I don't care how many pitches you saw.
Yeah. How many hits did you get?
The series is over.
Yep. And you lost 2 or 3 to the. So you had an opportunity to keep momentum going this weekend after sweeping the Cubs and the addition of Charlie and all that. And you didn't. And there's no accountability. And Gabe comes out there and has the balls to say we tossed 27 pitches in the ninth inning. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've had enough. I find the guy endearing in a lot of ways.
Oh, are you saying it's time to fire Gabe?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what he did was spit in your eye.
He hasn't been doing that all season.
Yeah, but this one is particularly egregious because they had a chance to gain momentum. It is now, that game yesterday was on the 18th of August. They're in a wild card race. They made a change, put Charlie Manuel in there, and everybody was kind of feeling good and pressure was off. And then he comes into a press conference and says that? He says that?
I don't know why you're surprised, to be honest with you.
I'm not surprised, but he went to a different level with this BS that he comes out of his mouth.
When it's a really bad loss, you got to stretch for positivity.
Well, gee,
and he did it.
He stretched. I'm surprised he didn't pull a hamstring. I mean, give me a break.
If he did, it would mean Sean Rodriguez is probably managing the team.
Well, that's another thing. Come on. That guy's not even a big league player. Are you kidding me? Sean Rodriguez?
Did you
played with Gabe?
Did you happen to see the story of him getting a fan kicked out in San Francisco?
Yeah.
And basically, Gabe tried to imply that it was not Gabe who decided to get the fan who was.
It was Sean Rodriguez.
It was the player sticking up for Sean Rodriguez.
That's just utter.
Like, so Sean Rodriguez is basically Rudy on this team.
Yeah.
Except Rudy never played.
Here's the thing, and here's the question. I want you to think about this during the break, Pat. I want everybody else to think about it. Have the Phillies ever been more unlikable than right now? Have they ever been more unlikable? After I got to clean it out of my eye after he spit right in my face. 27 pitches in the ninth inning. Are you kidding me? You're going to laud that when you lost by a run to the freaking Padres? God. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. I got an Eagles issue I need clarity on as well. Regarding Josh McCown. We'll get into that. And I have something I got to bring up today because I need help today regarding tipping etiquette. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the midday show. Jason Martinez with you. Pat Egan, 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about, what a great place. Conkerville Subaru. Now, you have to see their beautiful new showroom. This place is I saw it being constructed right there on 202 by the Wegmans. It's large, comfortable, and packed with all the Subaru models you want. So they built this gorgeous showroom just for you. Now, you'll think you're in a coffee bar when you see their beverage area or your own living room when you're quietly sitting in the visitor center next to a fireplace. How about that? You also get a free car wash after every service appointment. I might just get my car fixed just to get a free wash. Drive home the Subaru you've always wanted at the Subaru A Lot to Love event. It's going on now. All 2019 Outbacks, Foresters, and Prezzas and Legacies are 0% financing for the month of August. And you all know Subarus are built to last. Buying one with 0% financing, it makes a ton of sense. So while you're there, check out the new Subaru Ascent. It's the first full-size Subaru SUV. This thing's fantastic. Visit 202subaru.com. Again, that's 202subaru.com. Check out their inventory and details on the website. 0% finance deal ends August 31st, 2019. Conkerville Cares. Call 888-351-6493 for
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Chrysler Jeep Ram.
Hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. It is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Again, I open up the show today, and I need help. I need clarity on a few situations. I don't know if I'm overreacting to this Gabe Kapler stuff, and what he had to say after they lost 2-3 to the Padres yesterday, and they had loud outs, and that they saw 27 pitches in the ninth inning, where, by the way, they were down a run, didn't get a hit, three up, three down. Pat, can you play that second cut again? I need to hear this again.
Obviously, for those that missed it. Frustrating to lose today's baseball game. Really proud of the grind in the at-bats. Saw 110 pitches off their starter. Saw 27 pitches with three outs in the ninth inning. Reese had really good at-bats. First at-bat of the game was great, and set the tone exactly the way we want our leadoff hitter to set the tone.
All right. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm overreacting or not. I don't know if I should be shocked that he went as far as he did about 110 pitches and 27 pitches in the ninth inning. If I should just let this roll off my shoulder. Like, I'm trying to find sanity in an insane world is what I'm trying to do. And I think the only way that that can happen is from the audience helping me out and saying, no, you're not wrong. You're right to feel that way. Or you just got to let it go because it really doesn't mean anything. So I need clarity on that situation. You know, I can't move forward right now because this is bogging me down from the moment that I heard it yesterday. It's driving me nuts. Pat, where do you stand on this? Pat Egan producing the program today. Where do you stand? Should I just let this go? Or
yeah. I mean, you have no choice. This is going to be every single game. And they'll probably split with Boston. They'll get you back. They'll probably have one game where they look really, really good. That's the game they win, obviously.
All right.
And then they're going to come out against the Florida Marlins, and they're going to be flat.
And a team they've struggled with all season.
Yeah, and that's
and a team that stinks.
You know, at the end of this year, and I said this last night on my show, at the end of this year, you know, you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh, they didn't make the playoffs because of pitching. They didn't make the playoffs because of Gabe.
No, they're going to be close to Gabe. They can't beat crap
teams.
They
can't beat bad teams.
Yeah,
they struggle against the Padres, the White Sox, the Marlins. The only bad team they seem to consistently beat is the Mets.
Yeah, and that's not really even a bad team anymore.
And it reminds me of the 2006 season. I don't even remember this, but the 2006 season, you looked back on it, you went, if they had just beaten the Astros one time, they would have made the playoffs.
Now
and they
right.
failed every time. They failed. And you look at this season, you can't beat bad teams. You really don't deserve to be in the playoffs if you can't beat bad teams.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. And this is these are the perils of having a pitching staff that is so bad. You can lose to anybody at any time because of what you trot out there to start your games on the mound. 610-632-0975. So I looked up. I'm a big guy that loves to look up the definition of specific words, and I'm saying I need clarity today. So the literal definition of clarity: the quality of being coherent and intelligible. Like, I'm lacking that today. I am incoherent because of what Gabe said. I'm intelligible hearing that. It's an absolute insult to a fan base that last week was ready to change expectations and getting excited. And then for him to say, proud of 110 pitches and 27 pitches in the ninth inning where you went up three up and three down and lost a one-run game to the Padres and lost the series to the Padres? You've got to be kidding me. Let's go to the phone. 610-632-0975. Patton Blackwood starts us off. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Jason. Great show. You and Pat do a good job. You know, I'm going to talk about your guy Kapler in one second, but I got to bring out here this. I don't even know why we care anymore. You've got a McPhail the president who destroyed Baltimore when he was down there. You've got a general manager who let this pitching staff go to nothing. They need, if they would have picked up one more decent starter, they would be a lot better shape.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's get to Kapler. This guy, they've got a guy playing. They sent Mikel Franco. Now, listen, he's streaky. He's had problems. But he puts his teacher's pet, Rodriguez, at third base.
Who he played with, by the way.
Yeah, who he played with, who should be going out for an Al Pacino part in Serpico. Because he can't hit. Mm-hmm. He can't field. There was two balls yesterday, one on the third baseline. One. He can't go to his left. He can't go on his line. Franco would have had those balls.
Yep.
I don't care what they say about him. He would have had those balls.
Nope, you're dead right.
He's you know, and I can't count on how many times this team, when they've gotten two or three wins in a row, Kapler all of a sudden now, why are you putting Rodriguez at third base?
Yeah, oh, why are you starting that guy? I get that, Gabe, like, you want to have one of your guys in the clubhouse and, you know, he can help you control it and he's a veteran. But to start him?
Yeah, and Rhys Hoskins. I like Rhys Hoskins, but he's right now, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Oh, he's horrible.
If you can send Mikel Franco down, send him down, get his back straightened out, or put him with Charlie every day, sit him on the bench. This Logan Morrison gets two hits, they yank him out. As soon as they get rolling, this Kapler makes moves that bog your mind. I don't blame him for the pitching staff and the bullpen because the moron, the general manager, buried him.
Yep.
The pitchers. I understand that. But this guy's got to go. They all three of them got to go. And I'm sick and tired of Kapler saying, oh, well, if the ball would have been only hit 10 more feet, it would have went into the
Yeah,
feet.
Come on.
I'm done.
It's ridiculous.
Bring back the A's.
Yep. Hey, yeah. Pat. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I mean, the thing is, too, with Hoskins, like, I don't agree. I'm not sending him down to AAA. But I may give him a day off, let him reload, reset his mind, have a day, just spend a day with Charlie, chill, let free your mind a little bit, move him down in the lineup, take some pressure off him. Whatever they're doing right now, it's not working. And this is the part of the frustrating thing. You know, when Rhys Hoskins came up into the big leagues late 2 years ago, it was on fire. It was like, this guy is going to be an absolute stud. And he was trending, and you've seen the ability that he has. And you've seen him, at points, show what makes him great at the plate. But the inconsistency is because his brain is overloaded. There is such a thing as too much coaching. Overcoaching. Overloading a player's mind. And in a sport like baseball, where hitting a baseball is still the hardest thing to do in sports, you cannot overload a guy's mind. And you got to know not to overload a guy's mind that's got tremendous talent already. I know you want to get the most out of that talent. Sometimes you got to let it you got to let it breathe. It's like your head's being held under the water at the swimming pool, and they never let you up for air. 610-632-0975. Mike in South Carolina is on the Fanatic. Michael.
Hey, man. I agree with you completely about Gabe. When I was thinking, it reminded me of my son. He played soccer as a kid. They were 0-8 for the season, and they got a participation trophy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like at some point, you know, you have to come down on the player. Not call him out, but, you know, you have to call them out for what they did bad and get them back on track.
Well, you just don't laud them, you know, because you saw 27 pitches in the ninth inning. You know, if it was like a college football team, Mike, you know, he'd be giving out those stickers, like the Buckeye stickers they put on the helmet of the Ohio State players, because you saw 9 pitches and didn't get a hit. Like, that's not a feather in your cap. Okay, you worked the count, and you can call that a quality at bat, but ultimately, it didn't produce anything. So that's failure. And in baseball, there's a lot of failure. I get it. But don't go up there on the podium after the game and laud how proud you are when you lost to that Padres team by a run and lost the weekend series and cite 110 pitches and 27 in the ninth inning where you three up, three down. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Hey, I got one more thing I want to mention because I went to the vet when I was 5. I'm 50 years old. And the Phillies games. Never been to an Eagle game. In 86, I went to Lehigh Valley, saw them, not Lehigh, wherever they trained at.
But I took 86, that was Westchester.
Westchester, because that was when Randall Cunningham was taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome with my uncle. But so my son and my father and I went to the game in Jacksonville. And, you know, I know my son got some free tickets, and it was only like a four-hour drive. But being in the hotel with Eagles fans, to see them on the street, I mean, you cannot – I mean, this is the first time I experienced it, but it's like you know them. It's like your family, you know. It's like go Eagles, and you're giving high fives to people you've never seen before. And even at the football game, riding the water taxi to the game and back, that was a great moment. And actually, when we were leaving, we were watching the Phillies on my phone and saw Harper hit the grand slam.
Yeah,
and we were watching with other Eagles fans. So it was a great experience, but I hope to get out there to.
Yeah, you got to get up for a game, Mike.
Game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. That's great stuff. I mean, that's the thing. Like Eagle fans, if you're no matter where you are in the country on the planet, you could be in Istanbul, you could be in Budapest, Hungary. If you see another Eagle fan, you're both wearing an Eagle shirt, you got a bond. It's right there in front of you. And it's like you hug it out. You're like, oh, my brother's here. You never even met the guy. If you got to know each other, you may hate each other if you didn't know. But because you're both wearing the same colors, the Eagle colors, you're part of the brotherhood. You're part of the United Nations of Eagles fans, no matter where you are in the world. It's a cool thing. It is. So he's down in Jacksonville. You see Eagle fans and they're like, ah, you doing? And you see a guy that lives in wherever, like Talladega, Alabama. Dude, you're part of us. You come to the tailgate. We take care of you. 610-632-0975. The question is really simple. We'll get to Mike and Amber in a second. But I said this Phillies team is as unlikable as I can remember. Now, there are some likable components to the team. Like Bryce Harper is to me, very likable, dynamic player, powerful. He's a high pedigree player. So I like Bryce Harper. There's elements of the team I do like. I really like Aaron Nola. I like JT Realmuto. But there's other guys I don't like. And really, the reason I don't like them is because of the spin that gets put on them by the president, general manager, and the manager. It has less to do with them, has more to do with the people that are leading the organization. You know, I'm trying to figure out, I don't like calling for guys' jobs or anything like that. I don't like going, he needs to be fired, that whole thing. No. But I'm getting close to a point with Gabe of no return and saying, I can't support it anymore. Like, I literally sat on a stump last week and said, it's more the general manager's fault than his fault. And that he needs to be kind of given that latitude, knowing that his pitching staff is horrible. He's got no bullpen. He's got no rotation. Those are still all true. But when you trot out there after that game and say those things, boy, you're starting to lose me. I'm trying to defend you and understand the position that you're in, trying to go out there and win baseball games with a massively flawed rotation. And then you say stuff like that. Like, dude, I want to be in your corner. I want to be understanding of your situation. But when you say stuff like that, you lose me, man. I get you don't have to go up there and rip people, but don't tell me how proud you are. I mean, that's just insulting. And this fan base is too smart. Don't insult
them. That's what I don't think he understands yet.
How smart the fan base is?
Yeah, you can probably pull that.
In LA.
You can pull that off in Miami.
Yeah.
You can't pull off those comments in Philly.
No, not going to work here. You can't laud 27 pitches in the ninth inning and expect this audience to go, oh, you know what? You're right, Gabe. I find the silver lining in there with you. Boy, I didn't think of that. I feel better now. No, Gabe, we don't feel better.
Loud outs, that's literally a first.
Yeah, that's the stuff he says is it's insane.
Loud outs.
I mean, it's a loud out. Okay, but there's the key word in that combination of words. It's out. You know what I mean? Oh, that's... You know, that's a loud interception because he went deep. What are you kidding? Let's go to Mike and Ambler on the Fanatic. Michael.
Oh, man, I can't take it.
Are you at that point, too, Mike? You're at, like, the tipping point, aren't you?
I'm at my tipping point. You know, I invest so much time into watching this team when I don't want to because I don't like them. I stay up on these West Coast swings and get 5 hours sleep. Because I just feel like I gotta watch them, but I don't want to watch them because it's such a frustrating team. And when Gabe Kapler, his post game conferences are brutal. I can't listen to him anymore. I mean, that 29 pitch, he's lauding a 29 pitch where they struck out the side in the ninth inning. But he's saying, oh, they saw 29 pitches,
yep,
or Rhys Hoskins first at bat as a leadoff hitter, which I have no clue why he's there. He saw 8 pitches and that was a good at bat. It's not a good at bat. His job is to get on base, not to see 8 pitches. Yes, it's a quality. I guess you can call it a quality at bat. But you know, his BS now is so insulting to the fan base. And the problem is, I really think that the way he thinks is rubbing off on the players, because the players, when you listen to their post game conferences, it's not like, I really got to do better. I'm not playing to my potential. Instead, well, that's baseball.
Yeah, it's all about shifting accountability, Mike. Because the manager has set a tone for shifting accountability and finding pseudo positives and negative situations. And you're right, there's a trickle down effect to players and their mentality when that happens.
And that's the key element here as why he's not an effective manager, is because the way he likes to spin these losses is rubbing off on the players,
yeah,
and the players are now accepting these losses, mm-hmm, and saying, well, shucks, we tried.
Yeah, and when they get in their car after they hear what he said in the press conference, and those press conferences, by the way, are aired in the clubhouse on the TVs, so the players hear them. So when they get in their car, they go, oh, I guess, the coaching staff's happy, the manager's happy because we took 27 pitches. Yeah, it sucks we lost, but, hey, we won't hear about this tomorrow when we come in for a meeting before the next game.
And I'm just tired of hearing we got five more weeks of baseball. Look, this team's they've proven that they cannot go on a run.
No.
They cannot.
They haven't won more than 4 games all year, Mike. 4!
They cannot sustain a run. They can't win more than 4 games. And it's got to fall at some point in time here. And I know John Middleton's got to be beside himself, although he won't say it. There's no way in the world this guy's back next year. Yeah. No way.
I'm starting to think you're right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Great call. That's the thing. John Middleton hasn't said it. And we heard, from Jason Stark, who said he's not happy. And we can tell by John Middleton's actions that he's not happy. Because make no mistake about it, the reason that John Mailey was fired was John Middleton. And Charlie Manuel was put in place. That's clear as day. The Phillies right now are 2 games back in the wild card. And I know that everybody was excited last week after the sweep of the Cubs, the 11-run game when Charlie was back, the grand slam walk-off by Bryce Harper. And I sat her in the air and I said, I'm not changing my expectations yet. And people went crazy on me. And this is why. Because, yeah, you can do it for a couple of games, but when your team is flawed like this and managed like this, it's not good enough. It's not good enough, and it's not sustainable. That's why in baseball you don't change expectations, because a pitching coach was changed to Charlie and it felt good. And they won a couple of games and they got a little bit of a jolt. It's not sustainable. Frankly, people should be lining up on these phone lines to apologize to me today.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I was getting ripped up and down because I wasn't changing my expectations.
So you weren't changing your expectations because it was too soon, but now you want these people to change their expectations on your take?
Well, they jumped the gun too soon.
But now you're jumping the gun on making them apologize.
No, I'm not.
It might be.
They should apologize.
They shouldn't apologize.
But okay.
You don't deserve it.
I didn't make you answer the question in this segment, Pat, but I'm going to make you answer it next segment. Do you remember a Phillies team that was as unlikable as this one? And I don't mean just the players. I mean the organization.
Yeah, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Because there's so many bad ones?
Yeah, there's one that comes to mind immediately.
Okay. Well, I want to hear where your state of the Phillies right now. I want to hear your state of this franchise right now when we come back. As they sit right now, what is the state of this team? Are they in dysfunction? 610-632-0975. Remember, they don't have a ton of prospects to trade and get pitching this offseason. To get pitching, you got to make trades. Very rarely does a good pitcher hit the market where you can just overpay and John Middleton's wallet can bail your ass out. It doesn't happen very often. You don't have a full set of prospects that you can ship to here or there or anywhere to get pitching. You couldn't do it at the deadline, and you won't be able to do it this offseason.
There's a guy out there you might be able to bring back.
Cole Hamels?
Yeah.
He's 38.
And?
Gassed.
Give me a better option
I need two Cole Hamels from 08, and I need Cole Hamels from 2013. I know it's not going to happen.
Give me a better option than Cole Hamels.
No, you might have to get him, but he can't be your number two.
What option do you have?
Well, that's going to go into how you feel about the state of this team going forward. Under the triad of Andy McPhail, Matt Klentak, Gabe Kapler, and even the owner, John Middleton. It's going to be incumbent upon him to force change if that's what it takes. 610-632-0975. It is the midday show, 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about my friends at Window Nation. You know, the summer heat. We're in a heat wave right now. Once again, it's back, causing your old leaky windows to produce unnecessarily high energy bills. What that does is allows damaging UV rays to fade your valuables in your home and makes your windows even less effective. Well, listen up. While the kids are maybe at camp here finishing up the summer or maybe one more vacation, my friends at Window Nation, they're the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including me, and the A-plus Better Business Bureau rating. Well, they got extra capacity right now. They have to keep the factory busy and the installers working. So how about this deal? One free window for every window you buy. No minimum or maximum purchase required. That's on all styles of windows. Plus, no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. So buy now, start saving now, and literally pay nothing for 2 years. Now, trust the window company I trust. Visit thewindownation.com or call 866-90-NATION to get one free window for every window you buy. Plus, again, no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. It's windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Cut one more time, Pat. This is like me torturing myself because I don't know. I'm like pinching myself. I don't know if I can believe that he actually said this after the 3-2 loss yesterday. Here's Gabe Kapler.
Obviously frustrating to lose today's baseball game. Really proud of the grind in the at-bats. Saw 110 pitches off their starter. Saw 27 pitches with three outs in the ninth inning. Reese had really good at bats. First at bat
of the
game.
That's not true!
Late, and set the tone exactly the way we want our leadoff hitter to set the tone.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
He set the tone. They scored two runs, but he set the tone.
All right. So should I even care anymore? Do I have to just let this go?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you have
should
to care.
Should I care?
Because it's, you know, the Phillies.
The Eagles season's coming. You know, I got to bail out.
You can't.
With,
no,
what's
that's
coming with the Eagles and the Sixers.
That's bandwagon hopping.
So I should care. This should,
you should, you should this pay attention.
Should this bother me that he said?
Oh, absolutely. You should never get numb to that. If you get numb to that, there's a problem.
Yeah, but they're a team that loves to lull you into being numb.
Well, I think that's baseball.
I think the song Comfortably Numb from Pink Floyd was written about the Phillies.
I don't think that's true.
I have become comfortably numb. Because they do this repeatedly.
They do, though. You're right. But with a long season, you kind of expect that.
Yeah.
I think that the reason it pisses us off so much is because we had such high expectations for this season. And then when they don't go the way that we thought, you go, okay, all right, I'm angry about this. I want to see the people that have a say in this be angry. And when he comes out and he's just making, you know, waxing poetic about making relief pitchers that you're not going to see again for the rest of the season work, you're like, dude, what are we doing here?
Yeah. All right, so the state of the franchise right now, Pat, how would you kind of grade them out as on the state of the Phillies franchise? Now, let me set a few things up for you. Because obviously Bryce Harper, they went out and they spent $330 million for a 13-year contract. And he's here for the long haul. That there's not, you know, oh, they're going to trade it. None of that stuff. He is here. You have a cornerstone player that's not only a dynamic player, an MVP, a guy that can be an MVP candidate in a given season, but also a guy who's committed to the city and the face of the franchise right now.
Yeah.
You have some young players and guys like Rhys Hoskins, who right now is obviously not playing well.
Scott Kingery.
You have Aaron Nola as your ace. But you need a lot of pitching. You need a lot of bullpen. You need to, is Bohm going to be the guy, your third baseman?
Well, you hope.
You hope. He's the guy that you're not willing to trade and come up and take and be that power bat at third.
But how many, you know, prospects recently have we had? And we kind of, I especially fall into this trap of believing that they will be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believing that, you know, Alec Bohm will be another Anthony Rendon or Josh Bell. You know,
or Ryan Howard.
An elite third baseman that you desperately need, believing that Rhys Hoskins will be Ryan Howard. And what happens is guys like Franco and Rhys Hoskins come up and they might have a hot stretch, but then they plateau.
Yeah.
To about a 230 hitter who's going to max out at 30 to 35 RBIs if you're lucky. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is the most frustrating of the bunch because we made excuse after excuse for this guy. This year, there were no excuses. You know, he finally had protection.
Yeah.
He had Harper in front of him. He had Realmuto behind him. This was supposed to be 270. People were talking about him being
40.
A possible MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And he is hitting 230-something.
And lately, just... And the runners and scoring position numbers, oh.
Well, I think it speaks volumes when...
One base percentage is down, like,
yeah.
The lowest it's been all season.
I think it speaks volumes that when he got hit with the pitch to load the bases, a lot of people were relieved.
Yeah.
Because they were just expecting, you know, that's with one out. And you're like, all right, at least there's still one out.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to consider the roster. You're going to consider the players, the field players. You're going to consider the starting rotation. You're going to consider the bullpen. I need you to consider the manager, Gabe Kapler. I need you to consider the general manager, Matt Klentak, and Andy McPhail as the president. I need you to consider the owner. I need you to consider the farm system, the pitching coach, all of those things. What is the state of this team right now?
2004 Phillies.
That's not good.
It's not great, but you had...
That's 4 years away from being relevant.
Yeah, I mean, you had building pieces. You had just signed Jim Thome at that point. He was your big piece.
Yeah.
You had Jimmy Rollins.
Who blocked the big piece for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. You had Jimmy Rollins. You had Chase Sully, who ended up getting called up, but you had to trade Placido Polanco to free up a spot for him. You had Bobby Abreu as well. Like, you had good pieces. You also needed a lot because their pitching rotation was...
Okay, but you had a general manager at that time, too. You ended up with Pat Gillick.
Well, that was the next year they ended up with Pat Gillick.
Yeah, they ended up with Pat Gillick, who...
That's why I'm saying 2004.
Has that core of drafted and developed players there,
yeah.
And then was able to...
To add to it.
Add to it and supplement it and make the team... Put the team over the top.
Yeah, and the way he did that was genius. You know, I always talk about the...
Oh, the Victorino and the Worth move.
Yeah, you grab those guys. And Victorino was the most puzzling one because, to bring people back with the Rule 5 draft, you basically pay the other team $50,000 for the player.
Yep.
And then if they don't make your roster, you have to offer them back. And if that team, like you say, if I'm the team, right, if I don't want that player, I keep all $50,000. If I want to take a player back, I have to give you $25,000.
Yeah.
So they tried to offer him back to the Padres, and the Padres were like, no, we're good.
So you had to keep him.
For $25,000, they could have had Shane Victorino back.
Yeah.
So they lucked out in that sense. They lucked out with Jason Worth, too, because he had a somewhat decent year off the bench for L.A. He just got injured.
Yeah.
So they lucked out, you know, but the move that I always think is genius was the Jamie Moyer trade, because they gave up nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Andrew Barb and Andrew Baldwin.
And he was a veteran. Look, he wasn't a great pitcher, but
he was the
veteran.
Perfect number 3-4 to work with a young catcher in Carlos Ruiz and a young pitcher in Cole Hamels. And I think he was such a vital part to that team's success in 2008 because of his veteran leadership.
No doubt.
Right, like, he wasn't the best player, but he was a guy. He reminds me of a lot of Jason Vargas, that veteran, you know, low buy, you know, and he ended up playing for them until, I think, 2010.
Yeah.
So he ended up having a decent little run there with the Phillies, but I look at it like they're probably 3 or 4 years away from actually probably contending because...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.